Hello, everyone. This is our computer science software engineering project on My Fair Classic. My name is Ethan.
I'm Jake.
I'm Jonah.
And I'm Michael.
And welcome to our presentation on My Fair Classic.
So our problem began when our client was unsuccessful in his search for a usable and intuitive desktop application for reading and writing My Fair Classic smart cards. Even after paying for expensive and proprietary products, he was unable to find any software or hardware that could easily complete this task without any frustrations. Our goal was to create this application for him and alleviate that stress.
And so our client required that this be a fully deployable desktop app with a GUI that writes to My Fair Classic, performing these tasks in 1K and 4K, and that was about it. By understanding and implementing the WinSCard library, this application allows for users to use certain authentication keys to complete these operations.
For our front-end design, we chose to use Electron, which is a JavaScript framework that allows you to create a desktop application using HTML and JavaScript. We used Bootstrap and CSS framework for styling. And we chose Electron because we both felt comfortable using JavaScript to handle the logic and functions. The design is minimalist, just providing the buttons and necessary fields required to complete the tasks that our client needs.
We chose to use C# with a .NET framework to handle the back end of our app. We went with this because the WinSCard library is easily imported for us to use in our API, but there are also more helpful examples with this language. With a tool called Electron Edge, we had to convert the files to a class library as a reference file or DLL to use in the JavaScript on the front end. We are currently going through this process.
Okay, so as far as testing goes, on the front end, we used DevTools to assist us a lot as far as looking for variable names and IDs and that sort of thing. And then we also started out by using alerts for when we were testing the write and read functions to see what we chose to write and read. And this actually ended up causing an error for us. So we had to switch this over to console logging, and that helped with testing as well.
For the backend testing was performed through assertion test functions, as well as debugging using the console app and stepping through values.
All right, demo time. Stop sharing.
All right, so I'll go through some of the styling and organization choices that we made. So as I said before, or maybe Jonah said before, we used Bootstrap, HTML, and CSS for the design itself. And this is our HTML file. You can see it imports Bootstrap here. As far as what Bootstrap does, it allows us to use rows and columns like this, which really helps for organization. And you can see we tried to keep the names real nice and organized as well. And then the CSS file that is tied to it, you can see manipulates those names here. And these are the sort of names that we would look at through DevTools to see what exactly we needed to call. And around here kind of calls in some of the backgrounds. And yeah, that's mostly what we were using as far as styling and organization for the front end goes.
So for the JavaScript tied to our front end, the most important parts were getting the block number, because when it's generally talked about writing to these cards, it's talked in sectors and blocks, and sectors are forms of four blocks. So we have to translate the sector and block number into just a hexadecimal value, because that's what the reader and writer uses. We have to get our data every time to make sure that all of it's up to date and the key hasn't changed at all. The data fields are translated into hexadecimal by parsing the integer off of the string and then converting that string into a hexadecimal value. It needs to be checked that it's 32 characters long, otherwise it would result in an error. The key is also checked to be 12 characters long, otherwise it would also result in an error. The front end looks just like this, with a 12 character key and an absurdly long value that translates to 32 characters in hex. When we read, it displays the key and where it came from. When we write, it displays the translation of the data as well as the key used. If the key was not long enough, we would get an error here saying that it wasn't long enough. If it is, but the data is not, we get another error that it's not long enough either. And that's about it for our application. And you can change sectors as well. I guess that's semi-important. And then it changes the block as well.
What Ethan is showing us here is the back end. His mic has seemed to gone out.
I'm sorry. So what we're doing here for the back end is we're importing this 1S card .dll. And so what's happening is we're going to put a wrapper around this and we're going to establish context within individual smart card readers. We'll throw in a bunch of their actual classes in here so that way we're able to call them. What we're going to do is then in this context handler is we're going to create its own class, and the constructor, when it creates it, has some certain key variables that we need to hold some values for, like the context and the context handle. So when we go down here to one of the functions establish, we're actually going to be calling one of the wrap classes we put around the establish context to basically give us an individual number for that individual reader. We will then convert this array that we have into a list of readers that is strings that we can easily read from. We're gonna use this because in our class up here, our smart card reader class, to initialize it, all we need is a reader name. And so we're gonna throw all the context and convert them into strings into that list. So then we can pull from that list and initialize our own objects with smart card readers. As you can see, it has certain members of it like handle. So that way each individual reader has its own handle unique to its own object. And there's also certain functions down here that we have like connect that we call the WinSCard wrapper to do set functions and operations. Another big one down here is this transmit one. This is essentially how we're actually able to send the data to the individual smart card reader. And we're gonna be sending it this little APDU command. And so if I go here to the testing, we see there's a couple of tests that we have here. We check that the reader name is the actual reader name that we care about. We actually load a key, which is one of the operations that we do. So right now we're just loading a key of all Fs. And this is that APDU command that I was talking about. So it's a leading bytes of two Fs, as well as these next two numbers, this 82 tells it what type of operation it's gonna be doing. 82 just so happens to be load key, and 86 is authenticate. So when I run these tests up here, we can see that basically all of them work. They're just here to basically just show us what the values are, make sure that we're getting the appropriate values back, and that our smart card reader name is the actual smart card reader that we have plugged in. In terms for the front end, or not the front end, but like testing this stuff on a console application, we did the same sort of thing. So we established an instance of the context, threw it into that list of readers function, and then put that into a list of strings called myReaders. We put the first index as our reader name, and then threw that reader name into our class. There's a couple of functions in here, like the read, write, and load key, and I'll sort of show those off a little bit right here. So this HID OmniKey is our reader that we have, and then I displayed the handle right next to it just to show you that this is the individual handle that we have for our reader. It's much easier to look at this name than it is to look at this. We're connecting to the reader because we must connect to it before we do every operation. So we connect to it, and this is the load key command. So there's the command itself with the payload of the data at the end, and then we have our output, which is 9000. That's basically the success code telling us that the operation went successful, and then here's our key itself. Same thing down here. So we actually have to authenticate each block that we're talking to before we're actually able to read or write data to it. So first we call the authentication, which is this 86, the FF86, so happens to be the authentication command, and an output of 9000, so it's successful. And then we write data to block 4 as well, and we're just writing a bunch of Fs here, so just some arbitrary data. and is it successful? The right amount of string length and everything. And then down here below where we see the second connecting to, this is actually where we're going to be reading the data now from the sectors or the blocks that we just wrote to. So we first authenticate, we get a success code, and then we're going to be getting the output, which is all Fs that we just put in there. And yeah, that's basically how we just tested certain functions, at least for the front end. And then for back end, we tested other functions and other values for the testing cases. And yeah, that's essentially most of the back end. So thank you guys very much for watching. My name is Ethan.
I'm Jake.
I'm Jonah.
And I'm Michael.
And thank you very much.